In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Muslim brothers and sisters from around the world, hello and welcome to Radio Ma'arif, the English broadcast from Qom City, Islamic Republic of Iran. The program we are presenting now from Qom City, the English broadcast of Radio Ma'arif, is question and answer mainly concerned with different aspects of Islamic thought and religious thoughts around the world. The expert invited to this program, as usual, is Dr. Hojjatul Islam Barati, who is ready to answer all your questions. Hello, doctor, and welcome to this program.
Assalamu alaikum. How are you? I am very glad to be with you and your program.
Doctor, for today, all we got for today is, our emails and letters. And for the first question, sent through an email, it's posed that a person talked to people who are Baha'is, and it stated that the Baha'is believe that it is the fulfillment of all religions. First, is it true? And if yes, they believe that it's a new cycle in the religions, and what is the opinion of Quran and the Holy Prophet about this?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Again, Baha'is do very good, for example, repeat very good slogans and motives. But in practice, you don't find the equality of what they say with what they practice.
That's right.
For example, if they want to have a kind of reconciliation and unity and peace between all religions of the world, so why we find them attack Islam and cooperate with those who attack Islam and find something wrong in Islam? For example, their preachers here, they are coincided and paralleled with those who attack on Islam in the West.
That's right.
Uh-huh. So if really they want to practice their slogans like this, what you told, peace and reconciliation and unity of all religions in the world, it is welcomed in Islam. But unfortunately, they seem to politicians more than religious people.
That's
they
right.
bring for you very good and nice and sweet slogans, motives, sentences, but in practice, they do another way.
So what do Baha'i say exactly? I mean, what is their purpose of saying such a thing? And who are they exactly? Would you define them for us? You know, maybe some listeners are not familiar enough with Baha'is. And can we call it exactly a religion? Because religion is a multidimensional, a multi-aspect phenomenon in life. And can we call really Baha'i as a religion or not?
There is a doubt here because Baha'is should express it and explain it themselves.
That's right.
Because they say they are coming out from Islam and especially from Shia Islam.
That's right.
And once they say that Islam period is finished, okay. Now they have a new religion for modern age, for modern life, and those is brought by Islam does not commit and does not for example, compared with this present world, now
right.
It is time of technology, progress, and modernity, and freedom. So the religion is compatible with this time and with this age. But another time, they say, no, they want to be in peace and friendship and brotherhood with whole religions. Is it possible? Religions themselves, they have a lot of dispute and differences.
That's right.
And also they came to increase in this dispute and difference. They didn't come to make a real reconciliation, friendship, and bring a freedom of faith and freedom of belief in
That's
Islam.
Right.
When once they emerged in Iran, they started to make war against the society, against the majority, against
That's
the
right.
government. And even their difference and dispute was developed to an armed conflict with the government and with the society. And
That's
they
right.
terrorized a lot of Muslim scholars, and some of them were killed in this kind of clashes. They killed from Muslims.
That's right.
And always they are very close to superpowers. And those who occupied this country and colonialized this country, they deny all of these accusations.
That's
but
right.
We find it in their practice. Their practice is totally different from what they say. If they are really friend with all of religions, why they attack Muslims? Why they don't come back to their original society,
That's
Islamic
right.
and Iranic society? Why they want to be always a part of problem, a part of dispute and clash, and go take refuge to enemies of Islamic world and Islamic countries, especially their motherland, Iran?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, if these sweet slogans and motives are practiced, all of them are welcomed by Islam and Muslims, because we are people of dialogue, we are people of peace, and people of argumentation.
That's right.
We can sit and discuss with them. If they have questions, if they have critics, we can answer to them. Even we can accept if they are they have brought new things. But no, these are only slogans. Like, for example, superpowers of
That's
the world.
Right.
They say, we come to make you free, liberate you.
That's right.
But later on you discover at the end of the day they came to make you slaves. But
That's
with
right.
this slogan, with this sweet word, and in the same time they have swords, they have guns, they have airplanes, missiles, they come to deliberate you by force.
That's right. And don't you think that the, you know, you pointed out exactly to the superpowers. Don't you think that the superpowers are really abusing this type of, in fact, of a section of religion just to establish some clashes between the Muslims?
Of course, of course. We believe that either intentionally or unintentionally, they became, for example, some devices or instruments for the superpowers.
That's right.
Because how they can penetrate in the society when they make disputes, it is very obvious and clear that immediately those who are in minority and they are afraid of majority, they seek to superpowers. They seek asylum. They refuge to superpowers. And they are ready to do everything for them.
That's right.
Because they find themselves in danger.
That's right.
This is,
and also they are going to be paid.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, in the monetary and in money, sometimes in the mental life. So they do not really, in fact, they are not exactly worried about religion. They are worried about their worldly life, aren't they?
Yeah, of course.
That's right.
Those who give them asylum and support them back them, for example, Congress of America or Senate or some of, for example, human rights organizations, even some of the superpowers. I read in the news last week that Minister of Foreign Affairs in Canada declared that Iran should release six Baha'is which are detained in Iran.
That's right.
And I know that they have no, they are not criminal at all. They have no fault, no guilt, because only they are jailed because of their faith and belief. How he knows? How did he read their profile? Did he go to the court and find their case in the court? No, it is a political for example,
thing,
a stand.
That's right. That's right. And what about Quran? What is the, in fact, do we have any word in Quran that exactly refers to Baha'is or not?
By name, no.
No, by name.
By name, no. Okay. But there is in Quran verse that says you cannot be a Muslim, you cannot be a faithful person, but if you surrender to God totally, 100%.
That's right.
You cannot say, I accept one part of Quran and deny another part which the Baha'is do. They say, we believe in Quran, but in some verses, other verses, no. We don't believe in it. Like the verse that says, Khatamun Nabiyin, we cannot accept it because our prophet is after Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So they deny this verse. And also other verses. Some of the verses are abused by them. They, for example, some verses which talk about creator of the world, they misinterpret it in emerging of Baha'i religion after 1,000 years of emergence of Islam.
That's right.
So this is not being Muslim. being a Muslim is to surrender to God and to the
Holy
religion.
Prophet Muhammad. And you know that all the regulations and rules are established by the Holy Quran and Prophet Muhammad. And any violation of these rules, it means that you are not a perfect Muslim.
Of course.
That's right. Okay. Thank you very much. And dear listeners, for more information, you can please visit our website on www.radiomaaref, spelled as maaref.ir, or you can send also your emails to radiomaaref@irib.ir. Let's get to the studio, and we will be back for the second question sent through an email. Hello and welcome back to the studio on the program Question and Answer, mainly concerned with religious and Islamic questions. Doctor, for the second question sent through an email, what are the procedures and requirements to convert to Islam? I mean, first of all, I want to say, is it possible to convert from another religion to Islam? Or maybe somebody is a non-believer. Do the requirements and the procedures are different to converting to Islam? If yes, what are the requirements? And if no, please elaborate on it.
Yes. Thank you very much for this question. Becoming a Muslim is very easy. Even does not need to a procedure or, for example, sophisticated, for example, process. No. Is only to believe in God and surrender to Him.
That's right.
Islam means to surrender to God. But for the society, for the community of Muslims, for the government, for the offices, if they want to recognize you as a Muslim, there is a very simple procedure, only to declare two witnesses, two shahada, shahadatain.
That's right.
First of all, witness of unity of Allah, say, Ashhadu Allah, ilaha illallah.
There is no God but Allah.
But Allah.
That's right.
And secondly, to witness to prophethood, prophecy of Muhammad, peace be upon him and his household, Ashhadu anna Muhammad al Rasulullah. This is only for others to understand and recognize and know that you are really Muslim and treat you as a Muslim and know you as a Muslim and give you your rights, your
That's
special
right.
right as being a Muslim, rather than your right of being a mankind or a member of the society or a citizen. You have additional rights when you become a Muslim, because you become member of this community, of this Muslim world or Muslim brotherhood, this 1.5 billion people, you become a member.
That's
this
right.
is rights of fellowship and membership of this society. If you want really to gain this right, you should declare it to this society, to this community, that you are a member. When they understand that you are a member, they give you your rights. But in your relation with God, it is not necessary. Immediately when you want to surrender to God, you are a Muslim.
That's right. And, you know, when a non-believer is going to convert to Islam, is it different? The requirements are different from a person who is from another religion or not? Are the same. The requirements are the same for a non-believer and a person from another?
The same.
The same.
The same.
It's the same.
I told you, this is formally, this is for official, for example, works and jobs and relations.
That's right.
If for example, if you want to marry a woman, a Muslim woman,
that's right.
This Muslim woman should be convinced that you are a Muslim. Because if you are not a Muslim, maybe she cannot trust you to marry you or prefers to marry another person which she believes that is Muslim. So if you want to convince her that you are really Muslim,
that's right.
you admit that you are a Muslim.
That's
then
right.
This man, this woman trusts you.
And it's noteworthy, Dr. Bharati, that converting to Islam is not only saying some words.
Yeah.
You know, belief is more important than only saying some words formally.
Yeah.
I mean, you should believe inside in Prophet Muhammad and believe in Allah. You know, there is a difference between God and Allah.
Yes, but in Islam we have different definitions for iman, for,
that's right.
For faith.
For faith.
Yeah, the complete one is that contains three elements or three pillars.
That's right.
One is in heart, as you told,
that's
belief.
Right.
Belief, the place of belief is heart.
That's right.
The second pillar is witness. Witness is necessary.
That's right.
And the third pillar is practice and deeds. You should practice what you believe and what you say.
That's
if
right.
not, you are not a complete Muslim. Those who say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, I believe that there is no God but Allah, but they don't obey him. How we can qualify them as a complete and, for example, a standard Muslim?
That's
because
right.
if he believes, he will show it in his practice, or she. If she believes this, will if you, for example, believe that it is cold, you go and wear a coat, for example.
That's right.
If you are thirsty, you believe that you are thirsty, you go and drink water. So there is no contradiction between faith and deeds and speeches. These three should, for example, agree with each other.
That's right.
And should help each other and be linked and completed by each other in Islam, in real Islam. Because of that, there are definitions from holy imams and Prophet himself that al-Islam, al-Iman, aqdun bil-qalb, wa-qawlun bil-lisan, wa-amalun bil-arkan.
That's right. And all of them are interlinked with each other and, in fact, are acting as a complement for each other, are completing each other. Thank you very much, Dr. Bharati. It was very nice of you to hear such an answer. We got a letter here, a question posed that, I have a Muslim friend who believes that you could be from a different religion and enter the paradise. Do you think that his intuition is wrong? This
no.
is, you know, before answering this question, I want to say that is the definition of paradise and the heaven the same among the religions first? And if a person is going to enter the paradise, should he or she be the Muslim or Christian or Jew, or is it a religion bound or not?
Of course, because we believe that there is no fact more than one reality and fact, that it could not be different realities, facts. We don't believe in pluralism, as they say in the West.
That's right.
In the same time, there are more than one realities. Yes, but happens sometimes this one is right. Maybe, for example, somebody enters a paradise without being a Muslim. Yes, before emerging of Islam. For example, if somebody lived in this world before, for example, birthday of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and was a Christian or a Jew and practiced his religion, yes, he will go to the paradise.
What about now?
Now, if somebody is really mustaz'af, deprived in the field of information.
That's right.
And they didn't hear at all about Islam.
He is ignorant, in fact.
Ignorant, yes.
Yes.
So he has not enough access to information and knowledge that there is another religion, but, for example, his own belief and his own ideology, and is not able to go and do research for it and find and judge about it, is it true or not. This one is deprived from knowledge, or as you say, is ignorant. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him or her because of weakness of him. But in this present day, especially progress of communication and information,
that's right.
And you can have access to the to farthest point of the world with one, two clicks on the internet or by phone or TV or satellite channel and like this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants people to do research, to investigate, to find the reality. It's not enough to sit at home and say, because I didn't know, so I have no duty.
That's
you,
right.
You should know and you should practice your duty.
That's right.
Among the things you should know about Islam, you should ask about Islam.
That's
what
right.
is this? Is right or wrong? Or what is Islam in details? Everybody should do research. People should be seeking for knowledge.
That's why we can see so many scholars from different religions and different thoughts, after so many years of studying and after so many years of research, they convert to Islam. What's the reason? That's the reason, because they believe in the true Islam. They study and see that, okay, this religion is in fact the perfect religion, and it is in fact the perfect among other religions. So they believe in Islam and they converted to Islam after so many years of research and study. Thank you very much, Doctor. Allah, 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 ya Allah, Allah, Allah. For next question, which is sent to the email of Radio Maarif, the English broadcast, is about the definition of the Muslim. It says that there are people who have Muslim names and say that they are Muslims because they have Muslim parents. They rarely, if at all, practice Islam, and others may attend to certain Islamic practices on occasions, such as those who offer the prayers only on Fridays and perhaps in Ramadan, when they do fast. Are they Muslim? Do you think that being a Muslim is a deed and action-bound, limited to some actions, or no? Something else is happening.
I answered to this question formerly, but I repeat it in another, for example, explanation and statement, which means that there are different definitions for Muslim. And in different, for example, fields of law or jurisprudence or ma'arif, knowledges, for example, in aqa'id and kalam and beliefs and creeds, there is another, for example, definition for Muslim in jurisprudence, in court, maybe in inheritance or heritage. Yes, we can consider them Muslims, but sinful Muslims or unloyal Muslims, because they don't practice there. But in the, as I told you, they are not considered standard Muslim.
That's right.
Standard Muslim is the one who practices what
he believes. It's complete in every aspect.
Yeah. Muslim, Islam, the meaning is to surrender to God.
That's
and
right.
Muslim is the one who surrenders himself to God. This man or this woman did not surrender himself to God because what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders, he or she does not fulfill. What he prohibits, he does not avoid. So how he surrendered or she surrendered?
That's right.
Only name. Surrendered by, for example, belief maybe. Told, I am a Muslim.
That's right.
Yeah, but no, not in practice.
That's
because
right.
of that, a lot of criticism we find in the West about Islam and Muslims returns to this kind of Muslims. They are Muslims and they are not Muslims. They are religious and not religious in the same time.
That's right.
So we should give them right because of their criticism and admit to them that a lot of people are called Muslims. They are not really Muslims.
That's right. One interesting point in the question was about the Muslim names. Would you elaborate on the Muslim names? Does the name of a Muslim has effect or influence in his destiny and future? Or in the character or not?
Yes. Sometimes the man with a name finds a kind of relation and a kind of sympathy with his name and her name and identity. Because any name carries with it an identity,
that's right,
a culture, a background, a history, a civilization. And if this person does like his name, okay, so means that he or she likes the background, the roots, or the culture name is coming from.
That's right.
If he or she does not like it, he can or she can change it. But if lets this name to be on him or her, means that he has a kind of love or sympathy
or
to
affection,
this culture.
That's right.
Or affection.
That's right.
So because of that, there are different explanations that al asma'ut tanzilu min as-sama.
That's right.
It means that it is compatible with the personality of that man.
And also Prophet Muhammad, you know, peace be upon him and his household, stated that choose nice name for your children and meaningful for your children, especially those names that were conveyed by the Islamic thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Also happens that somebody left the name on him or her and is doing, for example, another way. It happens many times. And when we ask him, he says, this is the name my father or my mother selected for me, my parents. And I am not belonging to this culture or this, for example, kind of beliefs or civilization or religion. It happens also.
That's right. Thank you very much. For more questions, you can also call phone number 0098-251-2910-551 For more information, please visit our website on www.radiomaarif.ir. The next question we got here is an email. I'm a little puzzled as to what I should think about the Bible. Should look at it as a holy book or a corrupted holy book? I think that the adjective corrupted is not nice. Maybe somehow we can say somehow a distorted, you know, because the holy books and the book that was sent through the tongue and through the language of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, as one of the hall of prophets, was not corrupted. Maybe it was distorted after so many years. But what about believing in Bible?
Okay.
What about reading it and what about studying? Is it good or not?
Yeah. Today, all of us observe some books, scriptures. They are called holy books. They are called Bibles or Bible, excuse me, or called Gospels.
That's right. New Testament,
Old Testament. Old Testament, yes. And a lot of people believe in them. Maybe billions of people believe of them. But when we ask the experts of religion,
that's right,
and experts of history of religion, are these books written by the prophet himself, by Jesus Christ?
Are they authentic?
Yeah. Are they revealed like this, in this shape and in this form?
That's right.
By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to heart of Jesus, and Jesus explained them, expressed them, and people wrote it. Nobody says yes. And it is not possible to say yes in religions like Judaism and Christianity, because Jesus never compiled this book and leave it for people. Even in the time of Jesus Christ, no book as Gospel or Bible was existing.
That's right.
The first one they started to compile it was after 30 years of his escalating to the sky, as we believe, and after his death, as some of Christians
crucifixion
say.
In fact, crucified, yes, the Christians believe he was crucified.
Okay, and it took about one century to all, for all of these copies and different gospels to be emerge to the world. And the authors are clear. People know who is the author of this book. For example, John is author of one of them. Matthew is author of one of them.
Right.
Another one is Marcos. Another one is
Luke.
Right. Okay. So, from the beginning, essentially, they don't believe that this book is written by God or by Jesus himself or by Mary. It is written by some people. Some of these books are written by companions of Jesus, as they say, as we are told.
That's your associates of Jesus,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. And some of them are even compiled by companion of companions,
that's
not
right.
companions themselves.
Not the direct ones.
Yes. Okay.
That's right.
So this is the beginning and the establishment of these books. And also in the history, it happened several times that they translated one of these Gospels from one language to another, from Greek language to Syriani language, Syriani to Latin language to another language, to
Hebrew, maybe.
To the present right. languages. And in these translations, a lot of things are changed, and they also accept that translations are works of people, of translators, and translator always, for example, commits some mistakes.
That's right.
So this is the problem, that even they themselves don't say that this book, this holy book, was written initially, in the beginning, by Allah, by God, by Jesus. It was a kind of compilation, a kind of notes.
That's right.
Some companions had, what they remembered, what they heard, what they presented. And also the same happens with Torah, with Old Testament.
That's right, Torah.
Old Testament is 100%, for example, a humanistic work, like other books.
That's right.
Which are written by the authors and writers. So this is the problem. We don't want to use the word corrupted, as you say,
That's
or
right.
distorted, as
That's
you
right.
say. But Quran case is different. Totally is different.
Doctor, when we compare the text of Holy Quran with the text of Old Testament and Bible, it is exactly clear that the text of Holy Quran is complete. It's not this word. I mean, the language is completely different.
Yeah.
In some parts of the Bible, you know, especially the authentic version, which was translated and interpreted at the time of King James V, because it is the most authentic version of the Bible, we can see some contradictions. Exactly, we can see some contradictions in different chapters of the Bible in English language. But in Holy Quran, it's impossible. Even religious experts from other religions cannot find any fault. Religious one, in belief, even linguistic one in the Holy Quran. But in Bible, it is, you know,
different.
It shows that some part of the Bible are, in fact, or maybe most part of it are you know, declared through the language of human beings and not Jesus Christ or not God himself.
Yeah, and there are, in major things, contradiction between different copies of Bible.
That's right.
Like dynasty of Jesus Christ.
Very
which
good.
Is very important.
That's right.
Jesus belongs to which dynasty or which family or which tribe, who are their fathers and grandfathers.
That's right.
Two of these Bibles have two different narrations.
Interpretations, that's right. Okay, Dr. Bharati, thank you very much for this session.
I thank you for your questions.
Okay, dear listeners, if you have any more questions, you can send your questions to Radio Ma'aref @irb.ir. And also, for more information, you can please visit our website on www.radiomaref.ir. You can also call us on 0098-251-291-0551 or 2. Thank you very much. It was the end of the question and answers for programs today. And we will have many questions for next session on different aspects of religion and Islam. And we are ready to answer questions in different aspects. Thank you, listeners. Allah subhanallah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah. Allah ya Rahman, Allah ya Rahim, Allah ya Subhan, Allah ya Subhan.
Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah.